Isaiah 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and a sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Well, it's the end of the year. It's the last day of 2023. And often a time when we reflect on the past year and we look forward to a year ahead. I wonder how 2023 has been for you. At my work, we usually get a message round from someone high up, the head of department or whatever, and we get an email telling us how the year has gone, and it's usually full of the great accomplishments that we've made this year. It says how brilliant we all are, how hard we've worked and how successful we've been as a department and as a company. It talks about all the great successes of the year. Everything's going swimmingly and the company is heading in just the right direction. Funnily enough, it's quite a different message to the one we got at peer review time when they said, the company is struggling and we don't have enough money to give you what we want. They also missed out on the big disaster that we had in August when we were in all the newspapers for a big problem. They didn't talk about the bad things. They just talked about the good things. They tried to look at the year through rose-tinted spectacles, if you like. There are ups and downs in every year. And as we look forward, we know there's going to be ups and downs in the year ahead. Our bosses said, as we look forward to the year, we want you to work harder. We want you to do more. We want you to be even more successful. They said there's going to be great improvements in the year coming. And everything's just going to keep getting better. Do I believe that? Well, looking in past years, it's not always been true. But how has your year been? How has 2023 been for you? The answer will be different for each one of you. You know, sometimes we have a general feeling that most people think it's been a good year or a bad year, but it's different for every one of us. For some of you, it may have held marriage, the birth of a child, good times with friends, a lovely holiday, job satisfaction. And yet for others, it might have involved loss, difficulty in relationships, health struggles, loneliness. For most, there will have been a mixture of light and dark. And we shouldn't just put on those rose-tinted spectacles and say, yeah, everything was great. Because the reality is, there are difficulties. And there will be difficulties in the year coming, as well as blessings. What about the world in 2023? There have been advances in technology, in medicine, in agriculture. There have been movements forward. There's been progress. Artificial intelligence is taking great leaps forward, and I'm sure there's nothing bad is going to happen with that. And yet the war in Ukraine drags on. In Israel, Hamas staged a terror attack, and Israel responded with force. And just as Christmas came close, villages in Nigeria were attacked and over 140 people killed in a largely Christian area. I wrote those words a few days ago, and yesterday the toll had risen to 195, I believe. There are problems in this world. Wars are raging. What do we want for 2024? World peace? That would be good. But is it likely? Is there a trend towards things getting better? Or do we just see the same old problems year after year? We've been reading through the book of Isaiah. And Isaiah speaks to a people who had problems. A people who had been far away from God. It's a book of winnowing, really. Isaiah's telling the people at the start that you have been far from God. You have walked away from Him. And God is going to punish you. God is going to take you away. God is going to take you to a far land. And there, many of the people will just be blown away by the wind, like the chaff as they throw it up in the air on top of the hill. But a remnant will return. A remnant, those who are faithful to the Lord, will return to Jerusalem. And God will be with them. And God is going to send His branch of the root of Jesse to be a saviour for the people. In our passage today, God speaks to a people who are looking around, who have returned to a Jerusalem that is in ruins, that is surrounded by enemies. They're looking ahead with anxiety and fear. And God reassures them that there is a glorious future for them. The message from Isaiah is that God is going to do a new thing. We read right at the start, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered." God is going to do a new thing. He's going to do it through His Son, through the promised Messiah. And here is the result of the Messiah coming. Let's read the first few verses. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress." The Bible starts with the creation of the heavens and the earth, and it ends with a new creation, new heavens and a new earth, right at the end of Revelation. And Isaiah is given a glimpse into that end game. In the beginning, when God created the earth, He said it was good. Here He tells us that it will be perfect. He tells us that He will rejoice in His creation, and we will rejoice in His creation. It will be a place of joy. This new earth will be a place without sadness. The former things will not be remembered. There will be no regrets, no wishing things had gone differently. God's people will rejoice in God's creation, and that will include a new Jerusalem, not built by men, because those people will have looked around them and said, "What do we have? There are ruins. We can rebuild, but only in a smaller way." But God talks about a Jerusalem that is built by God, and He will rejoice in that creation and be glad in the people who are His. For people who long for a better world, there's a promise for God. It is coming. What will it be like? Well, we've already been told it's a place of joy, a place of rejoicing. Rejoicing in God's creation and rejoicing in God. It's a place where people will not remember the suffering and the troubles that they have been through, but will eternally rejoice in the Lord. It will also be a healthy world, a place of long life. Look at verse 20. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. One of the hardest parts of life in this current world is when death comes early. And that could be a child who lives only a few days, but it can even be an elderly person who dies having seemed to have a few years left in them. Not so the new creation, where life is long. In fact, it is eternal. Now, this verse seems to talk about people still dying, but I think that the picture here is a poetic one. Isaiah's trying to emphasize to the people how long their lives will be. The young man shall die 100 years old. To still be thought of as young when you're 100 years old would be amazing. He talks about the sinner 100 years old being accursed. And these are people who have looked at those around them, who have looked at those who are against the Lord, and they have seen them seem to prosper, seem to live long. Yet Isaiah says, for those people, those years will be accursed. For God's people, life will be long. In fact, it will be eternal. It will be a place of joy. It will be a place of health, of long life. It will also be a secure place where we reap what we sow. Look at verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be. And my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Now, remember, these are the people who are taken away from their land. These are the people who had been living in Israel, and the Babylonians had come in and taken away, taken everything from them. The houses that they had built were destroyed, or other people were going to live in them. The crops that they had planted were going to be eaten by other people. The work of their hands was not a blessing for them. Other people would take it. But Isaiah is saying, God is going to change that. God's promise is that they will be secure in the New Jerusalem. They will work and they will gain the reward. They will build and live in those houses. He compares their lives to a tree. Now, there's a tree near me that I sometimes pass in my lunchtime walk. It's called the Craigens Yew. It's an old tree. It's a big tree. It's been there for a long time. In fact, it's probably a tree that John Harper knew, because it's not far from where he was brought up. And it was still about in his day, 130, 140 years ago. In fact, it's said to be 600 to 700 years old. The tree lives long. And God says, your days will be like the days of the tree. They will be long. They will be fruitful again and again and again. And a tree has a real stability, doesn't it? A real solidity. God's people are going to be secure in the new land that God gives them. They're going to be fruitful, they're going to live long, and they're going to eat the crop that they plant. So it's going to be a joyful world. It's going to be a healthy world. It's going to be a secure world. It's also going to be a peaceful world. Let's read verse 24 and 25. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the thing we look for most, isn't it? When we look at the troubles of the world, we want peace. We want there to be peace among men and peace between man and God. And there will be peace. People will be at peace with one another. God promises that. There will even be peace in nature. There will be no danger in God's new Jerusalem. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Now, for your eye, that's sometimes hard to picture because the only place we see lions is when we go to the zoo and they're behind glass and they're safe. We know we're not in any danger. For Isaiah and for the people there in a land where there were lions and where if you saw a lion, you probably wouldn't see tomorrow. The lion is a real danger. And the idea of a lion being at peace with what would formerly be its prey is amazing. The Quaker minister, Edward Hicks, made a series of 62 pictures of this idyllic scene that we get in Isaiah. He called it the peaceful kingdom pictures. And he pictures this idea of the wild animals being at peace with the domestic animals and children being among them and there being no danger. We read the same picture in Isaiah chapter 11, by the way. And who is the one responsible for this peace? The root of Jesse, the promised Messiah from the line of David, the Lord Jesus. So the new Jerusalem promised by God will be a place of joy, a place without death, a place of fulfillment and a place of peace. The big question is, who is it for? Is it for us? Is this a promise that we can look for in 2024? Can we ask God to bring the peaceable kingdom to us this year? Well, as with a lot of prophecy, there are layers of fulfillment in Isaiah's word. For the post-exile Jews returning from a broken-down Jerusalem and surrounded by enemies, there is a promise to encourage them. It's a partial fulfillment of the prophecy. They would rebuild Jerusalem. They would live in Jerusalem. It would be their country. It would be their city. It was a place that they could return to worshipping God. It was a place that they would be secure, at least up to a point. It was a partial fulfillment of God's amazing prophecy of the future for them. For the New Testament church, there is a greater fulfillment. Jesus has brought new life to those who believe in him. We have eternal life through his sacrifice. 100 years will be nothing compared to eternity. We are secure in him. We have eternal life through his sacrifice. And we know that the works that we do for the Lord are rewarded by a treasure stored for us in heaven, which can't be taken away from us. We have peace with God. God's kingdom is no longer a place, a country in the Middle East, but it's a people, all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Church of God. However, we still face physical death. We still have hurt and disappointments and troubles in life. We can still have our earthly works go unrewarded and our earthly possessions taken from us. There is a peaceable kingdom in the spiritual sense, but in the world around us, war still rages. And so there is a future total fulfillment of God's promise. An end to hostility as Jesus comes back and judges the world. His people will go to live with him eternally. There will be no death, no weeping, no conflict, no insecurity. The lion will lie down with the lamb. The New Jerusalem is not a place, but a people who live with God at their center. It's the church come down from heaven, given resurrected bodies, and living in peace in a peaceable kingdom. How does that make you feel? In the email from the big bosses at my work, there's lots of promises of great things in the future, but do I trust them to deliver them? Not too sure about that. But when I read God's word, and when I look at what God has done, and how he has fulfilled his promises time and time again, I know that I can trust him. I know that the future that he has laid in front of us is secure. We can look back at how God restored his people to their homeland. After the time of exile in Babylon, they did return to Jerusalem, as he promised. And he gave them a level of security there until the Son of God walked in that city. We can know that there is a present blessing from God for those who call his Son their Saviour. No matter how hard life is, we know that he is with us and will help us. Those who have had a hard 2023 can look back and they say, even though it was difficult, even though it was painful, I know the Lord was with me. We have the Son living in us and through us. And we have the Father to call upon. We have the Spirit to guide us and comfort us. And what does the verse say? Before they call, I will answer. We have a God who knows our problems, who knows our needs, who knows our heartaches, and he answers even before we call on him, because he knows us intimately and he loves us. And finally, we have assurance that a future for us will be glorious. One day Jesus will return and the world will be changed. All pain, suffering and death will be put behind us. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. We won't be idle. I don't know what your picture of heaven is, but sometimes I think of it as just lying in the deck chair all day. But there seems to be a picture of labour, of work, of doing things, of a purposeful life. But we will receive the reward for that work, and we shall dwell in security and in peace. Maybe with some lions. I'm quite looking forward to that. Even some cheetahs. That was my favourite when I was young. But there will be safety, there will be security, there will be eternity for those that know the Lord. Do you know that you are part of that promise? The Jews knew that God's promises were for them because they were born into the nation of Israel. We know that those promises are for us if we have been born again into the family of God. Do you know that for yourself? Do you know the Lord Jesus is your Saviour? If you do, then be reassured whatever 2024 has in store for you, God is with you, God will be there for you, and your future is eternal. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, seek him out. Come and talk to us about how to know him, how he can be your Saviour. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful picture you have painted for us of a time that is to come, a time when peace rules the earth, a time when there is security and joy and full health and everything is wonderful. Lord, we thank you that this is not a rose-tinted spectacles picture. We thank you that this future is assured because you are God and you are able. And your Son has paid the price for us to be there. So we rejoice in him this day, Lord. And we know that you are with us through each day. We know that your hand is upon us in our lives through the the good times and the difficult times. Lord, help us to honour you in how we live our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.